Got a little bit of room. Three on three going in. He chips it in behind Gilmore. Back in. Put up. In. Austin Cangelosi with the game winner in overtime. What a play.
In the game, Seedham will carry the puck behind his net and wait out the buzzer. They're on their feet here at the Covelli Center. And ladies and gentlemen, the Youngstown Phantoms are the 2018 Eastern Conference champions. They're going to the Clark Cup Final.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to another episode of Hockey People on the Computer Getting Coffee, brought to you by Dunkin'. I'm Voice of the Phantoms, Matt Lipsack, and I am joined by the hosts of the Dump and Chase podcast, a fan podcast put on by two season ticket holders of the Youngstown Phantoms. That is Sam Olmstead and Justin Irwin. Justin, Sam, welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
How are we doing, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing great, Sam. How are you?
On video, no editing, so we're frightened.
Justin, how are you feeling? Kind of nervous?
No, not really.
All right, that's good. Before we get going here on today's show, we do want to send some well wishes out to the state of Iowa and all of the folks affected by that terrible storm that went through this past week. We're recording this on August 15th. But especially to our friends at the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders and the Des Moines Buccaneers who suffered severe damage to their hockey arenas. We wish them speedy repairs and we're, you know, just glad that nobody got hurt in those arenas. So, guys, I hope everything goes well and we look forward to seeing you for the start of the 2020-2021 USHL season.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. The pictures of that were just incredible to see the damage it was done just from, I mean, not even a tornado. This was just a storm that came through, you know, they said 200-300 miles, you know, long, that just kind of blew through Iowa. And yeah, just tragic stuff that happened out there.
I work with some people in disaster recovery who said it was pretty much like a Category 1, Category 2 hurricane came through, and the cropland that's been lost is pretty bad.
Yeah, I think I saw 90 mile per hour winds, and that's definitely Category 1 hurricane stuff. So yes, you know, best wishes to all of our friends out there in Iowa.
Iowa strong.
All right, next thing we want to talk about on a much happier note. This past week, the Seattle Kraken named their first play-by-play announcer, and it's our old friend Everett Fitzhugh. Who was with the Phantoms in their Anderson Cup year of 2014-2015. Everett, man, just so happy for you. I want to say that when I first saw the tweet from Ryan Clark, I think my first initial reaction was just overwhelming joy when you know that somebody that you work with is achieving one of their lifelong dreams. And Everett, I know you're going to knock it out of the park up there in Seattle. I can't wait to tune in, to Kraken hockey for the 2021-2022 season, man. Just the best of luck to you out there in Seattle.
I screamed out loud when I saw it. I mean, literally was shouting out loud. I look forward. Hopefully we get little snippets like when he was on Fast Hockey. And the radio broadcast would go off, and you'd be listening on Fast Hockey, and you'd hear him singing between radio breaks.
That was both of us. And I actually, for some of the Throwback Thursday content that we've put on social media for the Phantoms, I had to go back and clip some video from that year. That was before Fast Hockey interposed a game clock on the feed.
Yeah, that made it so much fun.
I only did one game. I was doing a Max Letnov hat trick, or maybe I did two, because I think I might have done a Kyle Connor hat trick too, but it was just, oh, it was awful. Just like, okay, so I'm looking at the time code, like, okay, and he scored at, you know, 13:25, and the next point is at 18:40, so that's 5.5 minutes of game time, which means I maybe need to jump ahead like 12 minutes in real time. And yeah, it wasn't fun. I will I'll tell you that much.
I feel your pain.
Moving on to our next subject, and Everett, again, one more time, congratulations, man. Just so happy for you, and I'm sure I speak for the whole fans organization when I say that we're just beyond proud that your path to the NHL came through Youngstown. All right, so guys, we did a thing back in, I think that was what, May, the Phantoms all-decade team. Time to talk about the votes. We all know who won. It was Kyle Connor, Sam Annis, Josh Melnick, Matt Miller, Aiden Gallagher. Come on, help me out. There's another defenseman. Matt Miller, Aiden Gallagher,
Alec Mahalik.
The goalie was Ivan Kulikov, and the coach was Brad Patterson. I said at the beginning that I would give away my ballot at the end, and I guess I'm going to go ahead and do that. We just want to go one at a time through it, and we'll maybe discuss a little bit.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Kyle Connor.
Obvious.
Yeah.
If you don't have Kyle Connor on there, then I question your sanity.
I was half tempted to invalidate any ballot that didn't have Kyle Connor's name on it. I decided that was not in the spirit of the event, and so I let it stand. I think Kyle only appeared on, was it 48% of the ballots? Was it 52? It was 50.3.
Wow.
Hey, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, right?
Okay.
Must have been a lot of latecomers to the party.
All right, moving on. Sam Annis.
My favorite player of all time for the Phantoms to watch, so he's obviously on my ballot.
We had him here on the show. Great guy, doing great things for the Iowa Wild.
Yeah.
Sam, did you have Sam?
What's that?
Did you have Sam?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I'm gonna be doing some bragging by the time we get through this list. So.
All right, moving on to the third forward. I did not have Josh Melnick. I had Max Letnoff.
Okay. obviously a skilled forward, so I can't fault you on that one. Not who I had, but.
Well, who did you have? Tell us.
I had Ryan Lomberg. Okay. I kind of wanted a physical presence that could still score.
Ryan absolutely brought that to the Phantoms. I still can't believe we got him away from the Muskegon Lumberjacks.
I don't know what was going on up there. I understand why Lincoln traded him. I won't get into that. that doesn't make any sense why they would have traded him,
This is where I'll do my bragging. Melnick getting it. I voted my third forward. I had Brett Murray. So when it was all said and done, I had all but one. All the ones I had voted for, this was the only one that ended up that wasn't on my list. That third spot, I had Brett Murray. But Kyle Connor, after Sam Annis, you had like three or four, you know, guys at least that had a very good argument for that third spot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could have gone with Austin Cangelosi,
yes.
Trevor Kuntar, Jack Malone, Eric Esposito had 20 votes. Brett Murray finished, looks like, four votes behind Sam Annis.
So
fourth place.
So five more votes, I would have ran the table on this.
I mean, if there was a tie, I would have let him, you know, on there too, just like what happened with the defenseman, where I think it was Gallagher and Miller both tied at their percentage number. So let's move on to the defenseman, where I did not pick either one correctly. I started with Andre Schuster, and I had Scott Mayfield.
Yeah, Schuster, I saw him one or two games. I didn't think I only got to see Scott Mayfield one game. But, yeah, I mean, both have solid careers now, so Yeah, Paul. Anybody there?
Yeah, I had Mahalik as my first pick. He was there the first season. I became a season ticket member. I loved watching him play. Probably I would put him at the top as far as just my 4 years of my all-time Phantoms. He reminded me so much of Chris Letang, especially on the power play. I was just so much fun to watch him play.
I had Matt Miller and Voss Kalias. And
Voss,
I picked Kalias.
Voss.
I picked Voss because I wanted a guy with skills, offense, defense, but character. You got to have one of those loose guys on the bench.
Can we add great hair onto that?
Never hurts anything.
I mean, especially for a hockey player. And Voss had some salad. Still has some salad.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the flow again, is important.
Looking at the tally, flow seems to be more important for a defenseman than a forward, might I add. But just looking at the tallies here, we missed a four-way tie. Scott Mayfield missed out by one vote. Missed being tied with Aiden Gallagher and Matt Miller by one vote.
Wow. So it was even closer for the defensemen than it was the forwards.
Yes, it was. Moving on to goaltenders. I picked Ivan Prozvitev for the run to the Clark Cup final.
All right. I picked Sean Romeo basically based on just a lot of the games against Dubuque. Regular season and playoffs, he faced a lot of tough shots in those games. So,
yeah, I had Kolbakov on mine. Well, where our seats are, we're right behind the net. We're, 10 feet away from the goaltender. Kolbakov, he was just that one that 1 minute you're looking at him, just screaming, "What are you doing?" And then the next minute, he's standing on his head, just making an absolutely ridiculous save. And
Colby took.
It was just incredible to watch him in net, just kind of Colby that back and forth. But at the end of the day, it worked out for us.
He took years off my life watching him.
we joked about chaining him to one of the crossbars just to keep him from straying too far away, but.
Listen, we do not need to bring up Game 3 of the Clark Cup Finals. Don't need to bring it up.
Yeah, no.
No.
When it comes to goaltenders roaming out of the net, we don't need to bring it up at all. Goaltending race was tight as well. I'm not going to fault anybody for picking Sean Romeo. Of course, he has the Phantoms record for career wins in a season, career shutouts, and shutouts in a season. But goaltending race also very close. Kulikov beat Prozvitev by two. And looks like Sean Romeo was five behind Prozvitev.
Did O'Connor get any?
I'm sure OC got a couple of votes. Let me scroll down here, see if I can find him. Yeah, OC got 12 votes, which was good for 7.9%. Winning was – Ivan Kulikov's winning percentage was at 18.5% of the ballots. Because the voting for the goaltenders was very spread out, including a couple of very interesting write-in votes, which include two votes for goaltenders who played for the Mahoning Valley Phantoms, as well as Matt Cassidy. did anybody see number 20 in net this year?
No.
Okay. You know what?
Matt's a workhorse, so I'm sure if they did put him in the net, there could have been some level of success there. But no, I didn't. From our vantage points, we saw it.
D'Augustine would have been valid.
Ryan Bednard.
Yeah, Bednard. Birdsall.
Bednard. There we go.
Two NAHL Mahoning Valley Phantoms, Trey Dowdell and Garrett Bartis.
I can almost guess who voted for them, but
Oh, all right.
Lord.
Oh. Moving on. Brad Patterson for coach.
Noreen.
Now I voted for Patterson because he's been the only head coach I've known, but you know, three straight trips to the playoffs very well could have been four, you know, including the Clark Cup finals. I felt confident enough voting for him without really knowing much about the other ones.
I mean, I've been around for all of it. Obviously, the success speaks for itself. You know, Brad now has the Phantoms career record for standing points as a head coach. I think he's 3 wins behind Anthony, if I recall my math correctly. I think it's 126 to 123. And then that's when the season put on pause. You know, with, 12 games remaining in the regular season, he was going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost a fait accompli. It's just, you know, just the numbers speak for itself, basically.
Okay. What about coaching ejections? Who holds the record there?
Tony.
Noreen, but I've heard that a couple of them are Brad's fault. I've heard that through the grapevine.
Is that coming from Brad or is that coming from Noreen?
No comment.
Okay.
Both. Those two still have a pretty good relationship.
They do, and they also joke that a couple of Anthony's wins should belong to Brad, and that a couple of Brad's wins should belong to Jeff Potter.
Fair.
So some technical difficulties there. We're back. All right. So last week here on the show, we had Phantoms head coach Brad Patterson. And we got to hear from Brad about, you know, a little small, tiny update on the possibility of a 2020-2021 USHL season. And we also got to hear about Phantoms camp and, you know, what the schedule is. So, guys, it sounds like Brad, you know, from the league office is hearing all systems go for an on-time start with a normal schedule? Question mark?
I would definitely question mark, but...
Huge question mark, yeah.
Hey, you know, that's
since then, though, two barns in Iowa have been seriously damaged, so
this is also true, and
that, you know, that alters things.
USA Hockey put out a Hockey is Back, and USA Hockey says if you guys want to play, we're gonna back you. So I'm looking for, guys, I miss it so much.
Yeah, but
the playoffs, I've been watching teams that I hate cheering for them. So, you know, I even watched baseball.
I mean,
I can understand right now, you know, you don't want to be a team and be planning for, you know, okay, we're not going to play until December. And then the season does start on time. You know, then everything's thrown out of whack. So, I mean, right now I can understand the timeline looking like, you know, as far as, you know, what teams are doing, what they're scheduling right now, you know, camps, training camp, all, you know, exhibition games, all that kind of stuff leading up to, you know, an end of September, beginning of October start to the season. So, yeah, that I can understand. Whether it happens is a completely different story, though. But, you know, I can at least for right now understand why the scheduling is the way it is.
I'm pretty sure everything's written in pencil. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
From what I understand, there's even been a tentative schedule, but well, nobody really wants to commit.
Everybody's got to give their rink availability. Like you said, until we hear otherwise, you know, it sounds like all systems go. So one of the other reasons I talked to Brad this past week was to talk about Phantoms training camp. A couple returning players were able to make it to camp. At least 6 that I was able to count. No fans were permitted at camp. I wasn't able to attend camp due to my job and other commitments. So I'm going off of photographic evidence from Instagram of who I can confirm was at camp. I saw Brad Merrick, Georgi Merkulov, Jake Swade, Caleb Price, and Brad did say that also Ben Schoen was at camp. So I'm trying to Did I miss anybody? Did I get them all? I think I got them all.
Yeah. So I'm in the same boat. So yeah, I usually go to camps and yeah, it's throwing a big wrench in my plan.
So like Brad and I were talking about, Yusaku Ando would have loved to have been at camp, but unable to get here from Japan, the Canadian born players, again, mentioning Brad's comments, it wouldn't have made a lot of sense for them to come to camp, you know, be here for 5 days, have to turn around, go back to Canada to quarantine for 2 weeks where they wouldn't be able to skate, and then turn back around, come back to Youngstown for, you know, early September report date for the USHL.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to see an interesting, you know, main training camp for the Phantoms, you know, and normally where you maybe have 30 players and you're trimming it down to 25. Now I think we're going to see, you know, 40, 45 players and have to trim it down to 25.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of this will probably depend, you know, on the imports being able to get in, in past years by now, I've had, you know, a semi good idea of who's going to be on the team. And now, yeah, I don't know more than the handful of players that you mentioned. And the only thing I can add is I know that the Hungarian kid that we drafted, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name correctly, but Levente Kretsits.
But anyway, I have to have it in front of me to even try.
Yeah, yeah. 14th round in the phase two. I've seen articles on him where he was planning on trying to play in the USHL this year and trying to get over here, but it was all dependent on being able to enter the country. And I'm pretty sure Hungary is on the list that can't make it in very easy. So
now, also in part, you know, you'll have, you know, like you said, you know, they had the kids in camp. They kind of, you know, Brad had said they had trimmed that down to, you know, around a list of 30. When they get to, you know, when they get to training camp and everything like that, you know, they're going to have these other players coming in that weren't able to make it. And then, you know, the thing I wonder about is college players, because you're kind of, you know, you've seen like the Ivy League shut down, you know, the Big Ten. I don't know. Does college consider hockey a fall sport or a winter sport? Because I mean, technically, it starts in the fall, but some places consider it a winter sport. You know, so does that mean with the, you know, Big Ten football shutting down, does that also go for hockey, basketball, you know, all that kind of stuff? And if that is the case, are you going to see some of those kids that maybe have a year of eligibility left, you know, in the USHL, maybe trying to come back and get a roster spot so they have somewhere to play this year? Mm-hmm. But then if the season start, you know, if the USHL season starts on time and some of these college kids go back, but after the beginning of the year, you know, their seasons may start up, are you going to see this mass exodus of players from the USHL to college? I mean, we have enough trouble figuring out rosters from year to year. This year has just made it impossible to even comprehend what could possibly happen.
I'm not even trying.
Well, one thing is for sure, keep your seatbelts on, guys, because I think it's going to be a wild ride as we approach puck drop for the 2020-2021 USHL season. My name is Voice of the Fam's Matt Lipsack, and you have been watching Hockey People on the Computer Getting Coffee, brought to you by our friends over at Dunkin'. Sam and Justin, thank you so much for joining me here on the show.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, man.
All right, fans. We will catch you next week here on the show. I'm going to have Sean Romeo here with us. As we mentioned, Phantom's career leader in wins in net and career shutouts. So look forward to getting to show you my talk with Sean. It was a really great interview. Sean was a great guy. I had a lot of fun doing it. So we will catch you next week. Sound out. Fade to black.
Wait, isn't the show over? Why are we still here?
I have no idea. Maybe a Zoom glitch. I don't know.
So Matt's show is over. He's gone, and we're still here.
That appears to be the situation, yes.
So we're still here on a show that will air on the Phantom's YouTube channel.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think I am. I'll book the flight to Tijuana.
What? No. No. Just not. No. What is wrong with you? Look, we're on the Phantom's channel right now. If we start doing our show, we can get it aired on their channel.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds a lot better than going to Tijuana.
Okay, let's just jump into this. We don't know how long it's going to last. Hit the music.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 32 of the Dump and Chase podcast. My name is Sam Olmstead, and with me, as always, he's a nice guy, tries hard, loves the game, Mr. Justin Irwin.
You got two out of the three, right?
For this show, we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the guy with the golden vocal tones, the voice of the Youngstown Phantoms, Matt Lipsack. Matt, it seems like it's been forever since we've talked to you. Also, you're in rare company. After Andrew, you're only the second reoccurring guest on the podcast.
Everybody needs a hype man like Sam Olmstead. Justin, do you feel the love? I feel the love.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I have to give all the credit to him because otherwise, this whole thing would be a mess.
Anyway, hello, Sam. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Oh, you guys are ridiculous, but you know. On my end, it's well-deserved, so thank you for all that.
And humble, too.
Yes, yes, very humble. Just ask me, I'll tell you. Okay, so Matt, jumping right in, hockey people on the computer getting coffee. Where did this idea come from?
I believe it started with Ariel McNutt, just asking me, you know, hey, as something to keep interest on social media during the pandemic, do you want to sit down with some alumni, do some video interviews? Because this was like when Zoom interviews just took off and were the thing. So I guess this was probably, what, May? Yeah, probably about May is when it started. I mean, if I pull up my files and see when the first one was created, I can tell you exactly when it was. But so this was probably, you know, it started as something that Ariel asked me to do. And then I came up with the name because everybody's heard of the show Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yes.
So that Netflix thing was very successful. So I played off the name. A little wordy. Couldn't figure out a better way to... Ariel and I workshopped it for a little bit and decided this was the route to go. But yes, it was the middle of May. Looks like May 17th is when I created the logo file on my computer. So,
file creation.
Hey, it's the most accurate form of time measurement out there.
We use this at where I work religiously, so yeah. And we had Ariel on our last episode. So you'll agree with us. She's pretty much the glue that holds things together.
You're not going to get an argument from me.
No.
She's great. She's the best. Love working with her. I love working with everybody in the front office. I'm only there on game days. So I try to give as much support to them as I can during the week. But yeah, Ariel is... She's an ace in my book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So when you're trying to figure out who you want to interview, who you want to talk to, who's that one you haven't got to do, the one at the top of the list, and it's like, my God, if only I could ask them and they would say yes, I would have them on in a heartbeat. Who's that for you? Who's that person?
I think the obvious answer is Kyle Connor. I haven't gotten to talk to Kyle since he left for the University of Michigan in 2015. Missed his last Phantoms game because I was at a Pirates game that night with my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife. She bought these tickets for us months in advance, you know, no inkling of an idea that the Phantoms were going to have a home playoff game that night. Well, I asked Everett if it was okay if I went to the Pirate game, since, you know, obviously there's no refunds on tickets. So, and Everett said, yeah, sure, go ahead. Scott Brand stepped in and did color for me that night, and I believe that was a 3-2 double overtime loss for the Youngstown Phantoms.
Yeah, that was a a hard one to take. I remember that one real distinctly. The fact that you weren't there for that one probably isn't that big of a loss.
I would have liked to have seen it. You know, obviously no way of knowing that that was going to be the final Phantoms game for Josh Melnick's, Max Letnov, Kyle Connor, you know, all the guys that on that 14-15 team that just made that particular team so much fun to watch. But, you know, they lost two overtime games in that series to Muskegon, and that will do you in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the last I saw Scott, too.
I believe that's accurate as well, yeah.
Yeah, still talk to him on social media.
Scott Brand is a great guy, too.
Character guy.
But, yeah, Sam, to answer your question, I'd love to sit down and chat with Kyle. I'd love to sit down and chat with Kiefer Sherwood. I know Max Letnov and I talked about him on my show for a couple of minutes. And I guess Kiefer's doing good out there in San Diego. And, of course, Kiefer has gotten to spend a little more time in the NHL than Max has. But hopefully with the Sharks, you know, looking to rebuild and retool, hopefully, you know, we'll see Max in the NHL a lot more often next season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're talking to these players – you know, you'll kind of go through, you have like a set of questions you kind of give to them. So we thought we're going to flip it around on you. We're going to call this the booth edition. Okay. So all the guys you've worked with, you know, past, present, all the guys and gals that you've worked with. All right. So which broadcaster was always late on game day?
I can't answer that really because everybody was always there before I was.
So you were late.
Well, no, because I was always the guy picking up the food for the press box.
Oh, okay.
So I had no idea, you know, what was going on before me. And also remember that all of the broadcasters before me were full-time employees. So that was their, you know, that was their gig.
They traveled, too.
Yeah, they traveled, too. So I can't speak to anybody, you know, specifically running late.
Okay. So who is or was the prankster in the booth?
Everett Fitzhugh. Always a joker.
That
always had
surprise me.
Always had a one-liner. Sometimes I think Everett and I spent more time trying to zing each other than actually talking about him. That was probably more me, but I know he got me occasionally really good too.
I was going to say, he seemed like he would be the type that would be able to take it and probably dish it back out a little bit.
Oh, tenfold.
Okay, so the first time I met you in person, anywhere, anything like that, was up in the booth before a game this past season. You had talked about, because the broadcast booth is kind of tucked away in the corner, it's not center ice like you see a lot of other ones. Sometimes looking down at the far end of the ice, you know, it might get a little tricky to see jersey numbers, names, anything like that.
A little tricky?
A little tricky. Those were the words you used, a little tricky, with a dash of sarcasm on top.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like me.
All right, so Clark Cup Finals Game 4, infamously known as the Fog Game. What was that like for you up in the booth?
You know, honestly, it wasn't that. I don't remember having any specific issues because I know obviously the fog was causing some issues on the glass for you folks.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I didn't have any problems with it. I remember being present now that you bring it back up, but it never actually stuck out in my mind as I can't see. Because it did kind of rise up above a little bit for me being so high up. Yeah, I don't remember having a problem with it.
Yeah, from where we were sitting, as soon as the players crossed the center line, we couldn't see them anymore. It, like, just literally disappeared into the fog. Once they crossed the center line, they were gone, and we had no clue what was going on.
You've seen the video of that Flyers game. You know, I think it was like the 70s. It was just off into the mist.
Okay, so when you're in the booth at this point, you know, you've gone both ways with it now. You know, do you prefer being by yourself in the booth, or would you rather have a color analyst with you? If the Phantoms came to you and said, hey, do you want a color guy or color woman, with either one, you know, would you prefer to be by yourself, or would you want to take somebody on?
I would be just fine having a analyst. We will go with the gender neutral term of the analyst. I would be just fine. One, it would give my vocal cords a rest. And two, you know, just, you know, a different point of view is always nice to have as well. You know, maybe I can't see everything.
I was just about to say, you don't see everything.
And I'm sure some people would point out, I barely see what I think I see. So, yeah, it would be nice to have a second set of eyes up there that could opine on the game.
Okay, so the game with Team USA this past year, the game where they started out with a 2-minute minor for unsportsmanlike conduct. Did you catch any of that when it happened, or?
Yes, I guess limited. So yeah, I was there during the pregame show, and you know, during intros, the lights were out, and I heard a couple of whistles, and I'm like, I don't remember whistles being part of the intro video, and I thought, oh, okay, they added some whistles to the video. And then I looked down and USA started, you know, the game with four skaters on the ice. And I put two and two together. I'm like, oh, something went on at the benches during intros and USA is down a man.
I heard, I won't say who told me, but I was told there were some words exchanged from the USA coaches as they were crossing the Youngstown bench coming onto the ice, was the story that I was told. Some words were shared between the coaches, and apparently Team USA got tagged for that one.
No comment.
No comment.
I'm very tempted to comment, but Yeah, valor is the better discretion is the better part of valor, so yeah. I'll retreat on that one.
Taking just a quick look as far as the future of the team, how do you think Brad did? This was his first draft. He was the man running the show. Looking at the names, I mean, how do you think he did?
I guess we really probably won't know until, you know, this year or the next, because, you know, you draft these guys and yeah, they get playing time in their first year. I mean, obviously Ando was an absolute steal.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to debate that with me, you're going to lose.
I will fight you. And I base that on the kid that Waterloo drafted, Iguchi. This kid has been hyped for years, and the fact that Ando comes into the league and starts, you know, producing instantly, whereas Iguchi, who in Japanese hockey magazines is referred to as Wonder Boy, and I can send you screenshots to prove that. Yeah, it just an amazing pick, but especially for an entry draft, not even a futures.
Well, that's we refer to Ando as the replacement tender pick, tender signing. You know, the tender we had signed took off somewhere else, and then Ando comes in, kind of
Saginaw? Did he sign with Saginaw? That's yeah. sticking out in my head.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Living yeah, with the owner too.
Daddy's
but yeah,
buddy.
So it's like he's gone. Ando comes in, you know, I think what turned 16 like 2 weeks before camp started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, essentially, I mean, this kid made, you know, this kid practically made the team as a 15-year-old, you know, came in and produced better than the original, you know, tender pick. So yeah, it's, yeah, that's, we've discussed before. We just kind of think of Ando as our tender signing from last year.
And I don't have the stats to back it up, but I want to say he is the second youngest player to play for us next to Kyle Connor.
That sounds accurate.
In the past, you know, we usually have a little bit more scouting. We have a little bit more to go off of when the draft comes along. This year, we had next to nothing on these kids. I mean, just bringing a couple up. I mean, like Jason Stefanik was a, let me see, 15th round pick in phase two. Yorba Linda, California. I mean, last season, 150 points in 72 games. I mean, may have been inferior competition, but you know, right now numbers is all we have to look at. We don't really have much of anything else on these kids.
I've made my prep school thoughts made in private. So yeah.
Yeah, Michael Rubin, defenseman. This is the one that interests me. Michael Rubin from New York played youth hockey in New Jersey. Last season played 123 games for a full season. Defenseman, 114 points in 123 games for a defenseman. What is this kid's cardio and conditioning like?
What are they feeding him?
We'll go with Letang-esque.
I mean, 120, yeah. How old is this kid? This kid is a...
Is Gary Roberts involved in this somehow?
Yeah, kid's an 03 birth year, 123 games last season between three different teams. When that kid's all said and done, he needs to come back to Youngstown, work as like a conditioning coach or something like that. Because apparently this kid, you know, 16, 17 years old, this kid's got it figured out. So, Matt, basically coming down, just, you know, one or the other, you know, your personal thoughts. Does the season start on time? Do we see a delay?
Honestly, Sam, I have no idea at all. You know, there are, you know, plans to allow high school sports to start. But, you know, we've mentioned, and I can't remember if we mentioned it here on this program or if, you know, on the episode of mine that we just recorded, you know, two USHL teams had their venues damaged within the last week. You know, the Chicago Steel needed special dispensation from the Illinois, you know, governor's office to be allowed to play because they're not allowed to play high school football in Illinois.
Yep.
To the best of my knowledge, it's still at this time, the Muskegon Lumberjacks would not be allowed to allow fans in the barn right now. So, you know, no USHL team can operate without fans in their barn.
Would I love to see the season start on time and go on without a delay? Yes, I'd love to see it. Is it possible? I have no idea. There are people way smarter than me and who get paid a lot more money to make those decisions. If somebody says, Matt, we have a game at the Covelli Center on this night at this time, I'm going to be there to call it on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, my opinion is free, so that's pretty much what it's worth. And all those that know me, know that is what it's worth.
Okay, so we have been talking to the voice of the Youngstown Phantoms, Matt Lipsack. Matt, thank you so much for joining us again, and thank you for having us on your show. The Dump and Chase podcast is brought to you by HockeyFan.com. You can also find us on OhioHockeyDigest.com in the Phantom section. Make sure to subscribe to our channel for past and future episodes, and check us out on social media. The links will be in the description. You can find Hockey People on the Computer Getting Coffee on the Phantoms YouTube page and on the Phantoms social media pages with new episodes every Thursday, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. So on behalf of Justin Irwin and our guest Matt Lipsack, I'm Sam Olmstead. Thank you for tuning in. Sound out, fade to black.
Hey, that's my line.
Fine then. Fade to black, sound out.
Goodbye, Gracie. I got it right finally.
Yeah, just four episodes late.